আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি ওয়া কাফা ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিনিল মুস্তাফা সাল্লাল্লাহু আলাইহি ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া বারাকা ওয়া সাল্লামা তাসলিমা কাসীরা কাসীরা। We are discussing a dua of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are going to continue, but for the benefit of those who are listening to this morning of Al Ansar, I will repeat that dua. That Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was questioned or was told by one sahabi that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have been overpowered by debts. I'm just giving you the meaning of that Hadith Sharif. He complained of debts having overpowered him. And also because of that, he was in distress, he was in worries, he was in pain, he was suffering grief and sorrow. Debts are a thing like that. When a person is heavily involved in debts, then it brings a lot of pain, it brings a lot of grief and problems, because he has to face the creditors. But that is if he has got some shame in his heart. If he doesn't have any shame, then he will go on borrowing and won't be even concerned about paying. But if he has got some shame in him, some haya, then it causes grief that I am owing this person money and I don't have the means to pay him. So in the first place, the person should not borrow without any need, genuine need. Most of our so-called needs are not needs. We want something of luxury, something that provides us comfort, something that can keep up our status and position in society, something by means of which we can also compete with our neighbor next door, or that we can avoid being called a person who does not have a certain item. Now most of our qaraz is for those reasons. Our debts that we incur, or the loans that we take, the borrowings that we do, is for those reasons. Like for example, if a person has got a flat and is paying rental and is living there comfortably, so now if some house comes up on the market, now it doesn't mean that the person has to buy that house, whether he has to take the money on interest, borrow from the banks on interest, or whatever it may be. But he has to get it just because it has a good price. He must see if he thinks that he can get a loan that is interest free and his earnings are such that he will be able to meet up his commitments, then well and good if he buys it, there's nothing wrong. But just to borrow without any real need, just because somebody else has got a beautiful house, so therefore I must sell my small house and buy a big house. Somebody else has got a beautiful car, so I must sell my small car and buy a big car. Now that is where we are getting caught up in debts. Or marriages, walimas. Now they doesn't say anywhere in any kitab that you must invite 1,000 people, or you must invite 500 people, or 2,000 people. If you have 2 or 3 people also, the walima can take place. Now that is a different subject. But here this dua, what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught this sahabi, so we must not get the same impression. That is why I'm clearing this doubt that may come in our minds, that here's a sahabi also who is complaining of heavy debts and grief and sorrow because of all that. Their qarz and their loans were not taken because of luxuries. They led a very simple life. And if they had to take loans, it was because of jihad, or it was because of unemployment, or because of some other very valid reason. And then they were always concerned about the payment of those debts. There was no dilly-dally business, that when they received the money, now there was delay. Because that is zulm. Matlul ghaniyya zulmun. The person who's got the capacity to pay and he doesn't pay, it is zulm, injustice. So he tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that this is my condition, that I'm very much grieved. I've got great distress. I'm in distress. I'm suffering sorrow and pain because of this qarz. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he taught the Sahaba Kiram many different duas. And that is what we are discussing these mornings, the different duas of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and how they solve the problems of those people. Again, we must not misunderstand. We must not think that just dua is sufficient. Dua is also a means. Just as we adopt the other means, we must also adopt this means of dua. And this is one of the greatest means, the best means. Because once your dua is accepted, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself will open up the doors. He will then provide from sources unknown, or He will create the means which didn't even come in our imagination. So both things have to go together. There has to be that effort, and there must be dua. But first we must resort to dua. If a person is in distress, if he is in a problem, he is in some difficulty, then first he must resort to dua. And thereafter look for the means which are halal, which are permissible means. Then Allah Ta'ala will create those means. A person was making a lot of dua, oh Allah, I'm in debt, I cannot seem to find the means to pay. Then suddenly Allah Ta'ala, because of the acceptance of the dua, makes him meet somebody. And that person asks him, what are you doing? He said, well, I was in a certain company, I was working with a certain company, and now there's this unemployment, or I'm retrenched. He said, but then you are the person that I'm looking for, the one who has your kind of capabilities. And then suddenly he gets a good job and he pays off everything. So Allah Ta'ala will then create the means. But our mind first goes to the bank manager. The moment we get a problem in finances, then the first thing that we think of is the bank manager. And then that is what causes more distress, because the bank manager is nobody's friend. As long as you have the money, is your friend. When you don't have the money, then he'll pull the carpet from beneath your feet. First he'll tell you, buy plenty of carpets and buy plenty of cars and buy plenty of all the luxurious items on interest, and he will give you the facilities. And afterwards he'll pull away that car too, and that home too, and that carpet too. So the first thing we should do is resort to dua. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught this sahabi a dua. And he says that within a few days of reading this dua in the morning, evening, all my problems got solved. My distress, my grief, my sorrow, everything went. Allah Ta'ala provided so much that all my debts got paid. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn. I explained, I think, this much, that ham is that gham, ham is that grief, that sorrow, which exceeds huzn or gham. That means that it is a kind of a sorrow or grief or distress which dissolves a person, or which melts a person. That means the person becomes so overpowered by that grief and that sorrow that his life becomes a life of restlessness, uneasiness, and in those worries he begins to lose weight, he gets high blood pressure, he gets sugar, he gets every kind of sickness that you can think of which is caused by stress and distress. Stress and distress go together. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, make this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn. O Allah, I seek protection in you from all kinds of sorrow, whether it is of a very serious kind or less than that. Whatever kind of grief, whatever kind of pain, whatever kind of sorrow, whatever kind of depression and distress that I am suffering, O Allah, I seek protection in you. Min al-hammi wal-huzn. Remember, this huzn or this distress, it came even to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. For the pious, for the righteous, for the God-fearing, it is a means of elevation of their status and position. It brings the person closer to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Lazzate faryad tufano mein hai. Lazzate faryad tufano mein hai. Kon kehta hai kanara chahiye. So the real enjoyment of dua is when the person is in the midst of the storm. Says that when the person is in the midst of a storm, is on a ship that is in the midst mid-ocean and it is struck by a terrible storm, one asks the passengers on that boat that what kind of dua they will make at that time. Lazzate faryad, the enjoyment of dua is when the person is in the midst of a storm. But because of our weakness, this Arif Billah, he says that the enjoyment of duas is in the midst of a storm. That means when a person is surrounded by difficulties, problems, hardships, then at that time the dua that he will make, there's enjoyment in the dua. Who says that I require the shore? I rather stay, he says, in that storm, because I'm enjoying the duas in that storm. But because we are weak, we are not all Arif Billahs. We do not have that kind of marifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we do not have the capacity to have the patience of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam, or the capacity or the patience of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, or the patience of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, or Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam with his people, or Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam, or the greatest of all Nabis, Khatamun Nabiyyin, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The amount of trials and tests that they went through, we do not have that capacity to bear those. Therefore we must never ever ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to put us into storms so that we will enjoy the dua, because our iman is so weak that we may be in the midst of that storm, we'll lose our iman too. When the person is caught up in poverty, he may sell his iman for miserable coins and for a few hampers. So therefore we should not ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for storms. We should ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for afiyat, for protection, for salamati, for ease, for comfort. I always say, ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the best. If a person, for example, considers biryani to be the best food, then he must ask Allah ta'ala for biryani. After that, if he gets dal, then he must exercise patience, sabr, and eat the dal. He mustn't express a kind of dissatisfaction. He mustn't say, what is this dal? Everyday dal. One person, first time he bought a new pair of shoe on Eid day. He never used to go for any other namaz, because some people make namaz saath ki, once a week, and some make 360 ki, once a year, and some make khat ki, that is janaza salat. So this person from amongst, was amongst those who used to make 360 ki, once a year he makes namaz. So he was a poor person, but that day he bought a pair of shoe and he went for Eid namaz. So the first day he bought a pair of new shoe and he went for Eid namaz. First namaz he went and somebody stole his shoe. So he said, Eid ke din kya puchna hamara hal, humne khai roti dal. He said, on Eid day what must you ask about my condition? People were eating biryani, I was eating roti and dal. Masjid mein jaye kya koi, niyat bandhi juta par, toba toba astaghfar. He said, do you think I'll ever go back to the masjid? Because I made niyat that side, somebody took my shoe and disappeared. So toba toba astaghfar. So what I was saying is this, that if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then gives dual, then the person must make shukar over it and he must eat it. But ask Allah ta'ala for the best. So minal hammi wal huzn, that this grief, this sorrow that the person is suffering, is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from that. That Allah ta'ala must not cause any kind of grief, any kind of sorrow, any kind of pain, any kind of distress to come. Because we are weak, we do not have that kind of patience and sabr. So when this sahabi made this dua, which goes further, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, but before we go further, what I was explaining is that this distress, this grief, this sorrow which comes upon a person without his own willful neglect, then that is the means of coming closer to Allah Ta'ala. When a person is not neglectful, he does not do something purposely which is harmful, which will cause distress, then that gham which comes brings a person closer to Allah Ta'ala. But if a person purposely slashes his wrist And then because of the excessive bleeding, he goes unconscious. He goes into a coma, or is rushed to the hospital. Or the person takes drugs, plentiful of drugs, and now he is suffering because of the harm that the drugs have caused. Or he has done anything else, like here for example, the person went and borrowed plentiful of money for no real need. It was just for show business. Now, where the person has himself been the cause of his distress, then that doesn't bring the person closer to Allah Ta'ala. All the Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam, the distress that they came, it was not because of their negligence, but because Allah Ta'ala is very merciful, very forgiving, very kind. Therefore, even if a person, due to his negligence, now he is in distress, now he is in pain, now he's got a gham and he's got a hum, he's got sorrow and he's got grief, and he doesn't know what to do now because he's in a tight corner. He was negligent, and because of his own negligence, now he is in this problem. Then too, that person must not lose hope in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now what is required is that deep pain of regret in the heart, that I should not have done this thing. It was my own negligence, my own mistake. But Allah Ta'ala is the one who finds a way out for every person in his distress, in his pain and problem. So I must make plenty of tawbah from this willful neglect, and Allah Ta'ala will then again find a way out for him. He is so merciful, so kind, so forgiving. If only we know Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then our life will become so pleasant, because then we will leave the decisions to Allah Ta'ala. We will make an effort, we will make use of the means, but the decision will leave to Allah Ta'ala, and we'll be happy that whatever decision Allah Ta'ala makes is the best for us. So Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn. We can go on and on. Allah Ta'ala puts certain things in mind that I cannot hold back, even if the time goes, what can we do? So Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn wa a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. And I'm asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection from helplessness. And kasal is laziness. One is that the person is totally helpless. He just doesn't have, if you look at Mirqat Sharif, which is the commentary of Mishkat Sharif, then there it says that ajz is where the person just doesn't have the himmat, or he doesn't have that strength, he doesn't have that courage to do any ibadat because of his sickness, because of his illness, or because of his pain and problem, whatever it may be. Now this person just doesn't have that strength to do any kind of ibadat. He wants to do, but he just doesn't have the strength to do it because he's sick, he's very weak, there's no energy in the body. The person is bedridden. So you're asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from that kind of sickness, illness, which will make the person helpless. And kasal is where the person has the strength, but he is what we term as baharul kahil, ocean of laziness. That he can do everything else, but he cannot get up for fajr namaz. He will talk about the rise of Islam. But after the sun has risen, he is still fast asleep. So the person is asking Allah Ta'ala for protection from helplessness and from laziness. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who changes conditions. All he wants is that the servants must turn towards him. So as I mentioned, that lazzate faryad tufano mein hai. We too, in these days, we have got so much of depression and so much of worries and so much of grief and sorrow and pain and problems. So this dua is something that we must make a wazifa of our lives. Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn wa a'uzu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal wa a'uzu bika min al-bukhli wal-jubn wa a'uzu bika min ghalabati d-daini wa qahri al-rijal. I will explain inshallah the balance of this dua tomorrow. But here at least this much. Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn. وأعوذ بك من العجز والكسل. Kasal, the scene has got fatah on it. Kasal. It is on page 11 of that morning evening duas, or the treasures from the Quran and Hadith. They are simple duas, and they are solving problems. They have solved problems and they will solve problems, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught the duas. If it doesn't solve our problem, then we must check where our engine has got dirt. Our carburetor, there must be some dirt somewhere. Why is it that our dua is not getting accepted? So then we must check our lifestyle, we must check where we are going wrong, and we will all find that it is our sins that are blocking the acceptance of the duas. I explained one time that a bullet, it has got the power that if you fire it, then it can kill a lion also. A person can kill a lion with a bullet. But the condition is that that bullet must be in the gun. And then if you pull the trigger, it's going to shoot and kill, then it will kill the lion. But if the person says that I heard from reliable people who were in Kruger National Park, that when they were confronted by a lion, they fired the bullet from a gun and it killed the lion. So therefore I will carry one bullet with me and go to Kruger Park, and after that I'll walk around. If I find a lion, then I'll throw the bullet at the lion and it will die. So then he will go too and the bullet will go too. He will become the breakfast of the lion there. So that bullet of dua, it has to be with our ikhlas, with our taqwa, with our restraining ourselves from sins. Then when we fire this bullet, it will have the desired effect. That we must, the dua Allah Ta'ala has accepted of millions of people, why will He not accept ours? But we must not think that if just dua is accepted, then again we are some glorified people. Because the du'as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accepts, listen very carefully, of the believers, of the disbelievers, of the fasiq and fajir, and even Allah Ta'ala accepted the du'a of shaitan. Read in the Quran Sharif that Allah Ta'ala even accepted the du'a of shaitan. When shaitan said, when he was told that you are rejected, there's no time to go into detailed tafsirs, so he asked for extension of time till the day of Qiyamah, so that he may be able to mislead the people. And Allah Ta'ala accepted that dua. From this it is concluded and deduced that if a person remains in sins and his dua is accepted, then he must not think that it is Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Allah will accept the dua, solve his problem, but then it will become a test for him. So we'll still have to give up sins if he wants it in the form of rahmat from Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise it will soon bring bigger problems. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the correct understanding of these du'as, that we must make the effort in the right direction and then make these du'as. Allah Ta'ala will definitely solve, inshallah, the problems. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and the ummah at large, the yaqeen in these du'as which have been taught by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to us. And may Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, and the distress that the ummah is in, whether it's in Bosnia, Chechnya, Palestine, Kashmir, India, Afghanistan. It is all in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, but we have to make the correct effort. Until we don't develop within ourselves that taqwa and that iman and that yaqeen, and we don't do that which Allah Ta'ala is pleased with, and restrain ourselves from that which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are displeased with, then we will not get the desired results. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.